I suppose you should. She blinked. That sounded familiar somehow. Hadn't her conversation with Puff gone much the same way? We need to talk. His brusque words interrupted her thoughts as he started toward the bedchamber. Come with me. She huffed. Didn't he realize what it would look like if they were alone in a bedchamber? Oh, wait. Brody was still there. If the general tried anything unseemly, Brody could shift into a dog and bite him. Hopefully, on his gorgeous rump. The general halted with a jerk, then glanced back at her. She quickly looked away, so he wouldn't know that she'd been watching his buttocks while he walked. Are you coming? He asked softly. Excuse me? The maid suddenly emerged from the dressing room with a large copper kettle of water, and he stepped aside to let her pass. Thank you. General Dravenko told the maid, then looked at Gwenor and beckoned with his hand. Come. Gwenor's heart fluttered as he strode into the dressing room. The way the man moved was lethal, like a wild cat prowling through the forest. She glanced over at Nyssa and found her standing nearby, gawking at the open door that the general had just passed through. The kettle tipped in her hands, allowing water to drip from the spout onto her slippers, and she didn't even notice. Gwenor groaned inwardly. Could you watch Eviana for me? I need a moment with the general. Nyssa sighed dreamily. Don't we all? Gwenor's cheeks grew warm. I'm going to talk to him for a few minutes, that's all. Nyssa broke free from her trance. Yes, my lady. She bobbed a curtsy, begging your pardon, my lady. Gwenor started toward the dressing room, then hesitated as she passed by the servant. Does the general talk to a great number of women? Nyssa shook her head. I don't believe so. He's from one of the three cursed clans, and that frightens most women away. Gwenor recalled how Olenka had reacted to the prospect of a courtship with the general. Why? Are they afraid they'll go insane like the queen? Nyssa winced. Please don't speak of it any more. It is forbidden. Why? What could happen to you? Nyssa grew pale as she glanced around the room. People disappear. What? The maid scurried toward the hearth to hang the kettle on a hook over the fire. She obviously didn't want to talk, and Gwenor didn't want to frighten the poor girl with more questions. Still, she found herself extremely curious about this so-called curse. It couldn't be real, yet something sinister was going on here. Brody would tell her it was none of her business, or that pursuing the matter could put her in danger. He had a point, she thought as she strode through the dressing room. She needed to keep her priorities straight. First and foremost, she had to convince General Gorgeous to return Eviana to her parents. It shouldn't be hard, since Brody would be there to help her. She closed the bedchamber door behind her, then strode into the room. Brody was gone. She glanced around once again. General Dravenko was across the room, his back to her as he gazed out an open window. Brody left without saying goodbye? The general turned to face her, and she was struck with the realization that she was alone with him in a bedchamber. She stepped back. We shouldn't be here. We need privacy to discuss some important matters. He motioned toward the open window. Brody was in a hurry to let Eviana's parents know that she's fine. They will not feel at ease until they have her back. I understand. General Dravenko closed the window. And I fully realize the damage that has been done. As soon as I learned what was happening, I tried to stop it. You sent Puff? Yes. I am sorry he arrived too late, and I apologize for the pain and suffering. It wasn't your fault. Gwynor waved a dismissive hand. But you can rectify matters by returning Eviana and me as quickly as possible. The general opened his mouth to respond, then hesitated. There are several other things I'd like to discuss first. She lifted her chin. After you agree to send us back, I will feel comfortable discussing those things with you. His eyes glinted with amusement. Are you negotiating with me? I'm protecting Eviana the best I can. She is safe here. You have my word. But that's the problem. She shouldn't be here. She should be with her parents. Don't you agree? His mouth twitched. Leofric should hire you to be his chief counsel. Her heart skipped a beat. That was perhaps the most flattering thing she'd ever heard. She remained in a daze till she realized he had moved toward her. Only the bed was between them now. She retreated another step. I have a question for you. He tilted his head, watching her carefully. How are you able to hear the dragons? That again. She shrugged. I don't know. Do any other elves have the ability? I don't know. Am I being interrogated? He bit his lip as if he was trying not to smile. Is this where I say something like... He glanced down at the bed, then slanted a pointed look at her. I have ways to make you talk. Her eyes widened. Was he threatening to torture her? But then why had he looked at the bed? He cleared his throat as if he was trying not to laugh. I'll ask again. Do you know of any other elves who can hear the dragons? I don't know any other elves. You were born in Woodwin, right? I was. But they sent me away when I was 2 months old. I don't know why. You don't know who your parents are? Does any of this matter? She glared at him. After I return to Eberron, I won't be here to listen to your precious dragons. Puff will never have to speak to me again. The general's expression turned serious. With his jaw set and his eyes taking on a fierce gleam, she was reminded once again that he was a powerful warrior. It matters a great deal, he said softly. We are at war with Woodwin. I need to know what the elves are capable of. She groaned inwardly. She'd been right. The general saw her as an enemy. I don't know anything. What is your gift? She winced. How much had he heard of her conversation with Brody? You shouldn't eavesdrop on people's private... I know you're embraced, the general said, ignoring her objection. So what is your gift? How can you help the Queen? She shrugged. The Queen's self is not my concern. He strode around the foot of the bed. You said yourself that if you helped the Queen, she might stop kidnapping children. Then no child would have to go through what Eviana did today. Gwynor grew tense. The man was definitely a warrior. He knew exactly where to strike for the most effect. You also said the Queen was being poisoned. He came to a stop beside her. I've always suspected the same thing. But I had no way of proving it. Can you help me figure out what's going on here? Now he was appealing to her curiosity. She shook her head. Brody thinks it would be too dangerous, and I have to agree. I just learned from the maid that people disappear if they talk about the curse. What? His eyebrows rose. That's what Nisa told me, and I have no reason to doubt her. Her fear is real. Frowning, he folded his arms across his broad chest. I'll investigate the matter, but meanwhile, you will be working with me so you will be safe. I can protect you. I don't think your method of protection is very helpful. She waved a hand at the bed. Everyone thinks that we're lovers. Her heart lurched. Why did his voice have to sound so alluring? A glint of gold in his pupils caught her by surprise, but when she blinked, they were back to a brilliant emerald green. Had she just imagined it? Gwenor. We shouldn't be alone. She turned toward the door. Why not? Are you afraid I'll seduce you? With a huff, she whirled around to face him. As if you could! His mouth curled up. Is that a challenge?
No!
You can't leave now. He moved close to her. People will think I lasted only a few minutes. The scoundrel! She slapped his shoulder. He grinned. Did you just hit me? After I saved you? She opened her mouth to reply, then paused as a memory flitted through her mind. Hadn't Puff said the exact same thing? How odd. What is your gift? The general interrupted her thoughts. She'd been warned all her life that being embraced was a death sentence on the mainland, so she hesitated to answer. I won't let any harm come to you. You have my word. She supposed that was true. After all, if he wanted her help, he would have to keep her alive. I can sense if a person is healthy or not. And if not, I can usually determine the cause. His eyebrows lifted. You're a healer? She winced. I wouldn't say that. Just because I can tell what sort of illness a person has, it doesn't mean I can actually cure him. We have an excellent healer at the convent, and she taught me a great deal about medicinal herbs and concoctions. But there are still things that are beyond me. I cannot guarantee that I will be able to help the Queen. You're being honest. Thank you. She snorted. Had he expected her to lie? He gave her a wry look. How could you tell she's being poisoned? I sensed it when I did a reading on her. She's not just mentally ill. Physically, she's wasting away. I'm sorry. With a frown, he nodded. How do you do a reading? I touch a person. Then somehow I connect. She shrugged. It's a gift. I don't know how to explain it. Show me. He spread his hands to either side. She blinked. You? Yes. His eyes twinkled with humor. Where would you like to touch me? She scoffed. There's no need to. I can tell by looking at you that you're perfectly healthy. Touch me. I want to see how you connect. Her cheeks grew warm. With his hands still extended to the side, he crooked his fingers. I'm waiting. She ignored him, folding her arms across her chest. There are several spots that can give me a good reading. A person's wrist, forehead, or the neck below the ear. Go ahead, then. He smiled. Lady's choice. Her heart fluttered. The man's smile was a weapon, and he knew how to use it. She reached out to grab his left wrist with her right hand. She pressed her fingers against him, and instantly she felt his pulse. Stronger than she had expected. She closed her eyes to concentrate, letting her senses join the rush of his blood as it coursed through his veins and arteries. Her breath caught. His heart was larger than normal, but it appeared quite healthy, thumping with a steady beat. She reached past his heart, venturing up his chest and neck. There seemed to be some sort of wall blocking his brain. That was odd. She moved down his body, swooping over his toned muscles. There was an abrasion on his left arm. No, more like a tattoo. Interesting. A few battle wounds had healed nicely. He would be the type to recover quickly. The warmth of good health radiated from his entire body, but an extra amount of heat seemed to be concentrated in one area. His groin. With a flinch, she released him. Something wrong? She shook her head as she stepped back. You've had a few minor wounds, but they've healed well. Where? Was he testing her? The scoundrel. A cut on your right shoulder and another below the ribs on the left. His brows lifted as if he was impressed. I stubbed my toe this morning. Can you tell me which foot? How could she admit that she hadn't gone past his groin? Actually, I did detect a problem. Before it reaches a point where it's too debilitating, I recommend you eat more fruits and vegetables. He frowned. What is it? Constipation. He snorted. My ass. Exactly. His mouth twitched. Let's make a bargain. Agree to help me, and I'll return Eviana tomorrow. Gwenor's heart took a small leap. Tomorrow? Yes. He nodded. I could take her by boat down the Norva River to the Eberoni border. She could be back with her parents by noon. Praise the goddesses. I need to go with her. He shook his head. If you agree to the bargain, you'll have to stay here. But she'll be too frightened to travel without me. She's been traumatized enough. After a moment, he sighed. All right. I'll make allowances as long as you agree to the bargain. I can't guarantee that I'll be useful. Do you think our problems here have been caused by a curse? She shook her head. No. Do you think there must be a reasonable explanation? Of course. Then you're already useful. With your gift of healing and your intelligence, I believe you can help. And I can't tell you what a relief it is to find someone who actually thinks the same as I. Most people around here won't even talk about the damned curse. She winced. They're afraid they'll disappear. You won't disappear. Not when you're with me. So, do we have a deal? After we return Eviana, you'll come back with me. She hesitated. As much as she wanted to accept the bargain for Eviana's sake, she also had to look out for herself. I'll have to insist on a time limit. I'll remain here no longer than 2 weeks. He arched a brow. 2 months. 1 month. Deal. Now we have to seal it with a kiss. What? With a grin, he extended a hand. I was joking. She scoffed. For a man living under a curse, he seemed rather jovial about it. But in a way, she found that appealing. He was refusing to accept the curse or cower in fear. She glanced at his hand. Could she really do this? What choice did she have? She needed to get Eviana home. And to be honest with herself, there were other reasons that made her want to agree. She was curious about the so-called curse, and even more intrigued by the thought that she might be able to break it. She glanced at the general, and his eyebrows lifted with a questioning look as he waited. Good goddesses, how could she work with this gorgeous scoundrel of a man? Tentatively, she placed her hand in his. I agree. He gripped her hand firmly. Partner. She pulled her hand away as warmth rushed to her face. If I am to live here for a month, I expect you to let everyone know that we are not involved in any way. We will be involved, we'll be working together, and since it is forbidden to speak of the curse, we'll have to keep our investigation secret. The easiest way for us to spend time together, with no one suspecting, is to let them think we're lovers. I don't want people thinking that. His mouth curled up. Too late. She huffed. Aren't you offended by the idea? People will think you're sleeping with the enemy. They'll think I have excellent taste. What? Haven't you seen how people look at me? No, I'm too busy staring at you myself. Do you really not know how beautiful you are? Her mouth dropped open. He leaned closer to peer into her mouth. Even your teeth look good. Stop that! She stepped back. The scoundrel was playing with her. She couldn't believe half of what he said. He gave her an exasperated look. Can you have Eviana ready to leave before dawn? Yes. Good. I'll see you tomorrow, then. He opened the door and strode through the dressing room into the nursery. Gwenor followed him and discovered that Olenka had returned. She was wearing an elaborate pink ball gown and long white gloves. Her wrists were encircled with numerous sparkling bracelets. A gleaming ruby necklace matched the tiara perched on top of her perfectly coiffed hair. She sank into a deep curtsy. My lord, I hope you are pleased with the great care I have given your guests. He nodded as he passed by. Yes, thank you. Olenka jumped up and scurried after him. Is there anything else I can do? Shall I arrange for a private room for you and... She glanced back at Gwenor. No! Gwenor winced. She hadn't meant to shout. The general's eyes danced with mischief. It will be difficult to spend a night away from my darling Gwenny, but she should remain here with the child tonight. Gwenor hissed in a breath. Blast him! A knock sounded on the door, then Dimitri opened it and let several servants enter. They were carrying trays filled with food and a cake topped with three candles. A birthday cake? Gwenor dashed toward Eviana. Look, there's a cake for you! Eviana squealed with delight. The general smiled as he spoke to the little girl in Eberoni. Happy birthday! I wish I had something new to give you, but if you like, you may take three of the toys here with you when you go home tomorrow. Eviana bounced on her feet, clapping her hands. Gwenor gave the general a shy smile. Thank you. He winked at her. Her smile turned into a glare. With a chuckle, he strode from the room. Dimitri gave him a wry look, then closed the door after the servants left. Isn't he dreamy? Olenka pressed her hands to her chest. I know. Nisa filled a plate for Eviana. He had me go to the kitchen to order the cake and food. She glanced at Gwenor. Would you like some, my lady? Gwenor shook her head. She was too tense right now to think of food. She just struck a bargain to work with the general, and she still didn't know what to make of him. Was he a hero or a scoundrel? Either way, he made her heart flutter and her knees grow weak. No doubt he could protect her physically. But what about her feelings? If she wasn't very careful, she could lose her heart. Chapter 7. Late that night, Alexei knocked on Silas's bedchamber door to let him know that the king had returned. "Is everything set for tomorrow morning?" Silas asked his friend as they strode down the hallway. Alexei nodded. "I rented a barge, and I'll have our horses saddled and ready in the courtyard at dawn." "Excellent." Silas glanced around to make sure no one was in sight. Luckily, it looked like everyone in the southern wing had already retired for the night. Even so, he lowered his voice to a whisper. "Lady Gwenor will be returning here with us." "Really? Why?" "I believe she can help me investigate the so-called curse. Our work will be secret, though, so not a word to anyone other than Dmitri." Alexei gave him an incredulous look. "You're going to trust an elf with our problems?" "She has no ties to Woodwin."
"How can you be sure of that?"
"I know her past. She grew up on the Isle of Moon with the queens Luciana and Brigitte."
"She might tell them about the curse," Alexei grumbled.
"If we get rid of the curse, it'll no longer matter." Silas waved a dismissive hand. "Don't worry about Gwenor, I can read her thoughts, so I know she's trustworthy." With a dubious look, Alexei glanced away. "What?" Silas asked. "I can hear her too. She keeps calling you General Gorgeous." Silas snorted. "What does that have to do with anything?" "You might not be seeing things clearly if you're enjoying her flattery." "I see very clearly. Sometimes I think I'm the only one around here who does. Or I did. Gwenor actually thinks like me, so we'll make a good team." Alexei grimaced. "What?" Silas's voice grew louder with exasperation. "You have me, Dmitri, and Lady Margosha helping you," Alexei mumbled. "I don't know why you need anyone else." Silas slanted an amused look at his young captain. Since their other friend, Dmitri, was only a few months younger than Silas, the two of them had grown up as sparring partners. Alexei, however, was 5 years younger and had followed the two older boys around like a puppy. Even now, he tended to get grumpy if he felt he was being overlooked. After delivering a light punch to Alexei's shoulder, Silas explained, "Gwenor has a special gift no one else has. With her help, we could finally make some progress." Alexei sighed. "The curse has been going on for 500 years. It's probably impossible." "Don't say that." Silas pointed at his friend as they slowed to a stop. "You see? That's why I need her. While everyone else is wallowing in fear of the curse, Gwenor refuses to believe in it. And I know she's brave. She's proved that today." Alexei gave him a sheepish look. "I know the rumor can't be true, since you just met her, but you should know that people are saying the two of you are lovers." Silas shrugged. "It'll make a convenient excuse to explain why we're spending time together." "Then you don't mind that people are saying you're sleeping with the enemy?" "I heard some of the courtiers are wagering how long it would take before the elf stabs you to death in your sleep. The most popular bet has her killing you 3 nights from now." Silas gritted his teeth. "If you hear anyone making a disparaging remark about her, tell him he will be receiving a visit from me." Alexei's eyes widened. "Dmitri's right. You're attracted to her." Silas looked away. There was no point in denying it. Not when he kept envisioning the woman in his bed.
He resumed his walk toward the stairwell. She's an intelligent, brave, and beautiful woman. But it doesn't matter. Nothing will come of it. She calls you General Gorgeous. Doesn't that mean she's attracted to you, too? Silas shook his head, then smiled as he recalled her physical assessment of him. Constipation. She thinks I'm full of shit. Alexei snorted. You're right. She is intelligent. Silas cuffed him on the shoulder once again. She'll be here for only a month. Then she's going back to her sister's where she belongs. To live with my sister, Sorcha. We'll have to hope she's not too clever, Alexei mumbled. If she figures out too much... Silas winced. His young friend was right. If Gwenor uncovered Noveshka's biggest secret, she would never be allowed to return to her sisters, especially when two of those sisters were the queens of potentially dangerous countries. He reached the top of the stairs and spotted the king trudging up the steps, followed by two of his personal guard. Behind them, the secretary, Lord Romac, shot Silas an annoyed look. Alexei, he whispered. When I talk to His Majesty, make sure Romac isn't close enough to hear us. Understood, Alexei replied. While they waited at the top of the stairs, Silas took the opportunity to observe his older brother. In the last 2 years, the king's black hair had acquired some grey at the temples. New wrinkles on his brow and dark circles beneath his eyes made him look both tired and stressed. Silas grew tense, recalling the rumors that Petrus might also be succumbing to madness. It couldn't be true, though. He refused to believe it, just like he refused to believe in the curse. Your Majesty, Silas bowed as the king reached the landing. Petrus regarded him with an expression that was both affectionate and annoyed. Come with me, he glanced back at Romac. You may retire for the evening. A hint of anger flickered over the secretary's face before he pasted a smile on his face and bowed. Your Majesty is most gracious. While Silas accompanied Petrus down the hallway, he glanced back to make sure Alexei was herding the secretary down the stairs. Then he leaned in close and whispered, I don't trust Romac. You should get rid of him. Petrus shook his head. He hasn't done anything to give me cause. That you know of. Have you noticed the number of rings he's wearing? Are you paying him that well? Petrus's mouth thinned with irritation. I am aware of what's going on around me. I've asked Carlin to keep an eye on Romac. We haven't found him taking any bribes or dipping into the royal treasury. Then where is his wealth coming from? I'll figure it out. Petrus heaved a sigh as he opened the door to his private sitting room. This is the way it is here. The courtiers are constantly jockeying for more wealth and power. The only one I can really trust is Carlin. And me. Silas entered the dark room, lit only by a fire in the hearth. I will always have your back. I know that. Petrus closed the door, leaving his two guards in the hallway. But frankly, you're not supposed to be here. Romac has been trying to convince me that you've abandoned your post for the sole purpose of interfering with my business. The damned weasel. He has a point. Petrus lit a long stick of kindling in the fireplace, then used it to light the candles on the mantel. You are interfering. Silas scoffed. How could I not? Do I have to tell you the danger you put the country in today? With an angry flick of his wrist, Petrus tossed the stick into the fire. Do I have to tell you the danger of going against my wishes? Silas gave him an exasperated look. Do you seriously want a war with Eberron and Turin? You put me in charge of protecting our country, and that's what I'm doing. We can't afford to fight three countries at once. Our army is depleted enough.
Petrus added another log to the fire.
We have plenty of money. Hire more soldiers.
From where?
Silas gritted his teeth. We've already taken women into the army. Do you want to risk the children next?
Petrus straightened with a worried look.
Surely it's not that bad.
It is bad, Silas ground out. We've been officially at war with Woodwin for 2 years now. Unofficially, we have a long history of skirmishes with all of our neighbors. We can't afford to lose any more people. That's why we need peace with Eberron and Turin. And to do that, I have to return the princess tomorrow.
Petrus hissed in a breath.
The queen requested a princess.
Damn it!
Silas walked away a few steps while he attempted to tamp down his frustration.
Taking the girl was wrong, Petrus. You can't traumatize children and families like that.
You think I don't know that? Petrus yelled. But what am I supposed to do when my wife is crying every day and threatening to throw herself off the highest tower? I have to give her a reason to live. I'm losing her, Silas.
A pain ripped through Silas when he realized how much his brother and sister-in-law were suffering.
It'll get better. I'll do whatever I can to help her.
You don't live here.
Petrus's eyes glistened with tears.
You haven't had to watch her slip further away every day, or witness her mind slowly deteriorating. I'm afraid she'll end up killing herself like our mother did.
Petrus.
Silas pulled his brother into an embrace.
Don't worry. I'll fix things. Somehow.
With a scoff, Petrus took him by the shoulders and moved him back.
You will fix things?
Do you have any idea how it makes me feel to have a younger brother who thinks he has to clean up after me?
I don't mean it that way.
But that's what you're doing.
Petrus squeezed his shoulders in a tight grip.
Are you going to defy me by returning the girl tomorrow?
Silas swallowed hard.
By the light, brother. Don't ever doubt my loyalty.
Petrus regarded him sadly.
Are you returning her?
What choice do I have? It's the only way to avoid war.
Since when is a general afraid of war?
Silas snorted.
It's not fear, it's honesty.
I'm facing the facts, Petrus. Our country is dying from within.
Don't say that!
Petrus shoved him back.
It's true.
Silas took a deep breath. Our first priority has to be saving ourselves, so I strongly urge you to end the war with Woodwin.
No!
There is no point to it, Petrus. Nothing is ever gained, and any loss of life becomes more of a disaster for our country. We should send an envoy to negotiate.
Absolutely not.
Petrus shook his head.
The last time we sent an envoy, he never came back. The damned elves must have killed him.
Silas sighed. That had been Dimitri's uncle.
Lord Telenko went over 20 years ago. It's time for us to try again.
Petrus turned to gaze at the fire.
Silas cleared his throat. When I return the princess tomorrow, I might get to see Sorcha.
Petrus glanced back.
Sorcha?
She grew up with a group of adopted sisters on the Isle of Moon. The elfin woman who came with the princess is one of the sisters. And the current queens of Eberron and Turin are also sisters. So there's a good chance Sorcha will be with Queen Luciana when I return the daughter.
Petrus remained quiet for a while, as if lost in thought. Then she's had a good life.
I believe so.
Petrus frowned. Don't bring her back here. She needs to stay away from the curse.
Silas sighed.
If he and Gwenor could do away with the so-called curse, it might be safe for Sorcha to finally return to her real family.
Petrus turned back to gaze into the fire.
All of our problems go back to the curse.
Or people's belief in the so-called curse, Silas thought.
For more than 4 centuries, it affected only a few members of the royal family. But in the last 2 generations, it has become so much worse.
Petrus sighed.
The entire population is suffering now.
We can't be sure the curse is responsible for...
Of course it is. We lost 2 of our siblings and our mother. I've lost 5 children, and I'm in danger of losing my wife. This damned curse must come to an end.
Petrus slanted a wary look at him.
I found a way to get rid of it.
What?
Silas stepped closer.
How?
Petrus turned back toward the fire, and the light flickered over his face, causing eerie shadows.
It's a secret.
A small smile lingered on his mouth.
After 500 years, we will finally be free.
How?
Petrus's eyes gleamed with excitement.
If I tell you, you must keep it secret.
Silas leaned close.
You have my word.
Petrus lowered his voice to a whisper.
It's Fafnir.
Faf?
Silas straightened with a jerk.
From the Ancient Ones? He was killed 500 years ago.
He's still alive,
Petrus insisted.
You know the Ancient Ones could live for hundreds of years.
That may be true, but they're all dead now.
Fafnir survived.
Petrus's eyes glittered in the flickering firelight. And since he's all alone, he wants to make peace with us. He said he would take away the curse. I only have to do what he tells me to.
A sliver of apprehension crept down Silas's spine.
What is he telling you to do?
Petrus looked back at the fire, his mouth shut.
Silas grew more tense.
How often do you talk to him?
7 times a week. I've been meeting him at the sacred well.
For how long?
Petrus shrugged.
Just over 1 year.
And now you tell me?
Silas frowned.
So he suddenly appeared about 1 year ago, after he was gone for 500 years.
Are you doubting me?
Not you.
While Silas believed it was possible that his brother was talking to a dragon, he had to wonder if it was actually Fafnir. Any dragon could say he was an ancient one and try to use that status to manipulate the king.
Fafnir is real, Petrus grumbled.
He was injured in the final battle, so he went into hibernation for a long time to recover.
500 years. Silas drew in a deep breath.
I need to meet this Fafnir.
Petrus shook his head.
He doesn't want anyone else to know about him. There would be some who would want to kill him, so not a word to anyone, understand? Fafnir is our best chance of getting rid of the curse.
What if the curse isn't real, and he's just using...
Stop it!
Petrus gave him an incredulous look.
How can you even say that? How many loved ones do you have to lose before you accept the truth?
Silas gritted his teeth. Just because the pain was real, it didn't mean the curse was too. What exactly is this Fafnir telling you to do? He wants to defeat Woodwin. Silas scoffed. Why? What would he gain from it? And how would that get rid of the so-called curse? He also wants to take over Turin. What? No, absolutely not. Petrus gave him a stern look. You work for me, Silas. Don't forget that. Silas walked away a few steps with his mind reeling. A war on two different fronts. Three fronts, most probably, because the minute he attacked Turin, Eberron would enter the war as Turin's ally. This would be disastrous for Noveshka. A terrible suspicion crept into his thoughts. What if this dragon, whoever he might be, was using the king to destroy the country? I'll get rid of the curse, Petrus insisted. And then Freya will get well, and we'll have more children. Our fellow countrymen will be able to have more children. Noveshka will be healed once and for all. I want that too, but then don't argue with me. When Fafnir tells us what to do, we must do as he says. And then he will lift the curse that the Ancient Ones put on us. Silas swallowed hard. He and Gwenor would have to work quickly to prove the curse wasn't real. He also needed to see if people were disappearing like Gwenor had said, and he needed to investigate this dragon who was giving orders to the king. Before I agree to follow orders from Fafnir, I must speak to him. Impossible. He will talk only to me. The sliver of apprehension slithered down Silas's spine once again. Are you the only one who has seen Fafnir? When Petrus nodded, Silas hissed in a shaky breath. He only had his brother's word that this Fafnir was real. What were the chances that an ancient one had survived 500 years in secret? Silas glanced at the king and silently cringed at the wild, unfocused gleam in his eyes. Damn it to hell. Was Petrus going mad, too? Gwenor winced. Now her rump was as sore as her back, and her arms were tired from supporting Eviana. It was the next morning, and they'd been traveling for about half an hour on horseback, following the Norva River. She had learned how to ride during her stay at Epton Palace, but she wasn't accustomed to trips as long as this. The night before had been difficult. Eviana had missed her mother so much that she started crying. Gwenor had let the little girl share her bed in the nanny's room, but they'd only slept about an hour before Nyssa had arrived before dawn to help them get ready to leave. The servant had laundered their clothes from the day before and given them a pillowcase to store the three dolls Eviana had selected as her birthday present. When they had arrived in the courtyard, the general had offered to carry Eviana on his horse, but Gwenor had thought it best to keep the girl with her. After all, the Norva River was close by, so it should be a short ride to the boat. "The river here is too rocky and shallow for a boat," the general had explained. "We'll have to ride for a while." When he reached for Eviana, the little girl had latched onto Gwenor, refusing to let go. "She's a little grumpy from lack of sleep," Gwenor had admitted. "I had better hold her for a while." General Dravenko had frowned. "Fine. But when you get tired, let me know." Before they had even finished passing through the small hamlet of Dreshka, Eviana had fallen fast asleep. At first, Gwenor had thoroughly enjoyed the journey, for she'd never seen a Noveshki village close up before. And once they had journeyed into the nearby countryside, a glorious sunrise had revealed some of the most beautiful scenery she'd ever seen. Forested hillsides and rocky cliffs flanked the winding river, and the air was cool and scented with a crisp fragrance of evergreens. For a moment she thought she heard the whisper of voices in the distance. Puff? She glanced up at the sky but couldn't spot any dragons. It was a shame Puff couldn't return her and Eviana. Flying with him was certainly more pleasant than riding a long distance on horseback. Now that they were half an hour into the trip, her rump was starting to ache, along with her arms that were supporting the weight of the girl's drooping body. To take her mind off her discomfort, she decided to study General Dravenko, who was riding in front of her. He was wearing a different uniform today. It was still green and brown, but his breeches were made of cool linen instead of leather. A definite improvement, she thought, recalling the reading she'd taken on him the day before. The man had trouble with too much heat. Good goddesses, don't think about his groin. She lifted her gaze to his head. His shoulder-length black hair stirred in the breeze that wafted through the valley. It was thick and wavy, the ends curling. Would it be as soft as it looked? Don't think about touching him. There was a sheathed sword on his back. It looked long and heavy, and she wondered if its weight ever bothered him. Probably not. His shoulders were so broad, his back so strong. He was a man accustomed to carrying the burden of leadership. Intelligent, strong, and too handsome for his own good. Don't think about that. How was she going to work with him, especially when the scoundrel was going to let everyone think they were lovers? He turned his head to the side, and she stifled a sigh at the sight of his gorgeous profile. Stop thinking about him. Unfortunately, without him to distract her, all she could think about was her aching arms. How could a 3-year-old be so heavy? He moved his horse to the edge of the path and halted. Glancing back, he motioned for her to approach. She reined her horse to a stop beside him. Is something wrong? She raised her voice over the sound of the rushing river. He maneuvered his horse closer till his leg brushed against hers. Her heart pounded as he edged even closer, his thigh now pressed against hers. What are you doing?
Shh. You'll wake her up.
His voice was so low she could barely hear him.
I'll take her.
I'm fine.
No, you're not.
She snorted. The man shouldn't assume he knew how she felt, even if he was right. We'll be entering a canyon soon, and the path will become steep and narrow. Let me take her, for safety's sake. He reached for the child. As the back of his hand grazed against Gwenor's ribs, she sucked in her breath. A fluttering feeling started in her stomach and inched up to her chest. Silently she watched as he settled the sleeping girl on his lap. The fluttering feeling crept into her heart, and she inhaled, suddenly realizing that she'd been holding her breath. This man was affecting her too much. But how amazing that a warrior like him could also be so gentle. He would make a wonderful father. His gaze lifted to her eyes, and her heart grew still. Time seemed to stretch out as she lost herself in the glittering green of his eyes. Suddenly, somehow, it felt like she'd known this man more than a day. She'd always known him. She'd been born knowing him. She'd only been waiting for him to make his appearance. A glint of gold flickered in his eyes, then he blinked and looked away. His chest expanded as he took a deep breath, and Gwenor also looked away, suddenly feeling embarrassed. What on earth, Lan, had come over her? Behind them, Alexei cleared his throat. We should be going, General Dravenko said quietly, as he urged his horse to take the lead. They rode for another half an hour. Then the trail led them into a narrow canyon that the river had carved through a mountain.
The sound of rushing water became so loud that it drowned out all other noises. The light dimmed as the increasing shade cast them into a cool and eerie twilight. They were forced to go in single file, the general taking the lead and the young captain, Alexei, riding behind Gwenor. After seeing them off, Dmitri had stayed behind at Draven Castle. She assumed he was exhausted after guarding the nursery all night. Just thinking about exhaustion made Gwenor yawn. Her rump was aching something fierce now, along with her back. And the sight of General Dravenko in front of her wasn't helping. Why was he affecting her so much? Was he the tall and handsome stranger promised by the Telling Stones? She shook her head. She shouldn't give any credit to a silly game. It was no more real than the so-called curse she was going to investigate. Eventually they came around a bend, leaving the canyon behind and emerging into bright sunshine. Gwenor's breath caught at the beautiful sight before her. The path headed downhill, weaving its way back and forth until it reached a wide valley. The river beside them spilled over a cliff into a spectacular waterfall, then grew wider and tamer as it meandered through the valley. From their lookout point, Gwenor could see a village nestled close to the river, along with several boats and barges tied off at the long pier. Soon they were approaching the village, and people wandered into the main street to gawk at the visitors. They seemed to recognize the general, Gwenor thought, for many of the older men saluted him, and older women bobbed small curtsies. He called out to some of them by name. She looked curiously about. The homes were small but tidy, the kitchen gardens green and well tended. Long-haired cattle and fluffy white sheep grazed in nearby fields. Freshly baked bread scented the air and reminded her that she'd missed breakfast and hardly eaten any dinner the night before. As they passed through the village, she saw more of the people. Odd, but it seemed like everyone was elderly. Only a few were middle-aged. She glanced around again. No young adults or children. Perhaps they preferred to live in the bigger towns like Varushka. With her thoughts elsewhere, she was slow to hear the hushed whispers emanating from the villagers. Is that an elfin woman? Why is General Dravenko traveling with her? Is the little girl his? Is she his love child? Has he been sleeping with an elf? Oh, no, the general would never do anything that horrible. When they reached the pier, the general stopped his horse and turned in his saddle to address the crowd. Good people, I would like to introduce you to Lady Gwenor, whom I regard as a trusted ally and friend. I expect you to honor her with the same trust and respect that you hold for me as your Lord Protector. Yes, my lord. The words rumbled reluctantly through the small crowd. They were still eyeing her with suspicion, but Gwenor couldn't blame them for that. Some of them might have lost family members in the war against Woodwin. Lady Gwenor has been visiting us with the young Eberoni princess here, General Dravenko continued. We're returning the little girl to her parents today in Eberron. I would appreciate any blankets you could spare to make the princess more comfortable. The villagers scurried off to their homes, and soon they had made a comfortable pallet on the floor of the barge. On a table close by, they left several baskets full of food. After making sure Eviana was sleeping soundly on the pallet, Gwenor sat at the table with Alexei to enjoy a late breakfast. Meanwhile, the general was overseeing the crewmen as they readied the barge for departure. Thanks to the river's steady current, the barge began to move smoothly downriver. Gwenor leaned back in her chair, enjoying a thick slice of buttered bread while watching the lovely scenery. Once again, she thought she heard the murmur of whispered voices coming to her on a breeze. The sound seemed to be coming from the forest, though, and not the sky.
Do you hear anything? She asked Alexei.
With his mouth full of food, he nodded and motioned to the general and crewman, talking